Friends, today's gospel reading takes us to one of the most important turning points in the ministry of Jesus. This is a follow-on from last week's reading from Matthew 15, where Jesus tells the Pharisees that what comes out of their mouths actually comes from their hearts, and this is what defiles them. And Jesus asks his disciples a question that sounds simple enough. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then he makes the question more personal. He asks, but who do you say I am? That second question is at the heart of the passage today. It's not simply a question about what people think about Jesus. It's a question about what we believe about Jesus. What difference Jesus makes in our lives, and what it means to follow him. Let's pray. Lord God, give us the ears to hear and the heart to discern your message for us today. Amen. Jesus is at the height of his popularity. His reputation has spread widely. He's been teaching crowds with authority, healing sick, casting out demons, in full contact with people who were considered untouchable. The people have seen miracles from Jesus, lots of them. The feeding of the 5,000, and then the feeding of the 4,000 have taken place, and there's this buzz about Jesus. Jesus has been challenging religious authorities and announcing that the kingdom of God is breaking into the world. The Pharisees are also wanting to find out more. They're asking probing questions, sometimes trick questions, and they're asking for signs from heaven. Most everyone is trying to figure out who is this Jesus, really. In our gospel reading, Jesus and the disciples have arrived in Caesarea Philippi, a place with a strong pagan and political identity. It was a city associated with Roman power and with temples dedicated to pagan gods. The region itself was a place where people were surrounded by competing claims about who or what deserved their loyalty. And it is there, in the midst of all these competing voices, that Jesus asks, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The disciples respond with what they've heard. Some say it's you're John the Baptist, returned from the dead. Some say Elijah, the great prophet, who according to Jewish tradition would return before the coming of the Messiah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, people recognize that Jesus is important. They recognize that something extraordinary is happening through him. But they haven't quite understood who he is. And then Jesus asks, "But who do you say I am?" Jesus is asking his disciples to identify him in a world filled with all those other voices, those other authorities, those other claims to power. And perhaps that's not so different from our own world. We live surrounded by voices telling us who matters, what matters, where we should place our trust, where we should invest, what we should use to define our lives. We hear the voices of politicians, advertisers, social media influencers, commentators, institutions, cultural leaders. Yet in the midst of all these voices, Jesus still asks, "Who do you say I am?" In our gospel reading, it is Peter who steps up and answers seemingly without any hesitation, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is an extraordinary confession. Peter isn't simply saying, "You're a good teacher," or "You're an inspiring religious leader," or even "You're a prophet." Peter is saying Jesus is the Messiah, God's anointed one, the one for whom Israel has been waiting. He is the prophecy fulfilled. And Jesus responds by telling Peter that his understanding, that is, Peter's understanding, has not come merely from human reasoning. Jesus says Peter has been given insight into something deeper. And then he says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." In preparing the homily, I saw several references to the argumentation that goes on about what this rock actually means. I'm going to skip that discussion. I'll let you dig into that if it's important for you. What does seem clear is that Jesus is telling Peter that this confession, this recognition of who Jesus is foundational. The church begins with a recognition of Jesus, not a building, an institution, a committee, a denomination, a set of rules. The church begins with people saying, "Jesus is the one we follow." Then there's an important detail that we must not miss. Peter gets the answer right, but he doesn't yet understand what the answer means. Peter does understand that Jesus is the Messiah. But Peter, like many people of his time, is likely expecting a Messiah who will demonstrate power, defeat Israel's enemies, and restore Israel's national form. Jesus will come with strength. The Romans will be gone. And immediately after today's passage, Jesus begins to explain that Jesus' understanding of the Messiah is very different to what Peter is likely thinking. Jesus tells disciples that he will suffer, be rejected, be killed, and be raised again. And Peter is horrified. Peter cannot reconcile the word Messiah on the one hand with the words suffering and death on the other. It simply doesn't fit. He's recognized Jesus, but he hasn't yet understood the way of Jesus. And that distinction matters. Because it is possible for us to say that Jesus is the Messiah and still misunderstand what Jesus asks of us. We can say, "Jesus is Lord," while pursuing power rather than service. We can say Jesus is the center of our faith while ignoring people who are vulnerable. We can admire Jesus' teachings without allowing them to challenge our own assumptions and actions. We can even proudly call ourselves Christian without actually living the way of Christ. The question is not simply, do you believe in Jesus? The deeper question is, what kind of Jesus do you believe in? And what difference does that belief make in the way you live your life? Jesus' first question, who do people say that I am, is, relatively speaking, easy to answer. Jesus is just seeking information. We can talk about what other people believe, what the church teaches, what we've been taught, what we've read in books, what other Christians believe, what our friends think. Jesus' second question, but who do you say I am, is much harder. Jesus is asking for our personal response. There comes a point in every person's faith journey when Christianity has to become more than something we've inherited. Our faith journey is more than church attendance, learned prayers, and Bible stories. Our faith journey needs to consider Jesus' question, who do you say I am? And each of us has to find our own response. We may struggle with some parts of Christian doctrine. We may have questions. We may have doubts. We may understand Jesus differently at different stages of our lives. And for me, I have to say that I think there's room for that within the Christian faith. Faith can involve both conviction and questioning. The important thing is that we're willing to engage the question honestly, who is Jesus for us? And another important point emerges. Peter gives Jesus the correct answer, but the story doesn't end there. Peter will soon misunderstand Jesus badly. He will object to Jesus' prediction of suffering. Later, he'll deny Jesus three times. And yet, Jesus doesn't give up on Peter. And that is good news for all of us. Because our faith is not a test we pass once and for all. It's not a one-time test. We can have moments of great understanding and moments when we get it completely wrong. We can be courageous one day and afraid the next. We can say the right thing and then behave in a way that completely contradicts it. We can love God intensely and then be so angry with God. We can understand something about God at one stage of our life and discover a deeper understanding later. Peter's story, his life, reminds us that faith is a journey. Jesus doesn't choose perfect disciples. He chooses human beings like all of us. People who learn, stumble, misunderstand, sometimes get it right, sometimes need another chance. So what does this passage say to the church today? First, it reminds us that the church belongs to Christ. That sounds obvious, but it's worth remembering. The church doesn't exist primarily to preserve itself. It doesn't exist simply to maintain buildings, programs, and traditions. Not that these things can't be valuable. They can. They can help us worship, gather, and serve. But they are not the heart of the church. They're not the heart of the church. The heart of the church is Jesus. And if Jesus is at the center, then the church must continually be asking, what would Jesus have us do? Jesus as the foundation for our church. Who are the people Jesus would have us notice, welcome, or serve? Where is their hunger, loneliness, injustice? Where are people frightened or forgotten or being just pushed to the margins? And what would it mean for us to be the presence of Christ there? Jesus asks his questions in a place associated with political and religious power, Caesarea Philippi. But Jesus is about to demonstrate a very different kind of power. The power of Jesus is not ultimately the power to dominate. Rather, it's the power to serve, to forgive, to heal, to welcome, to stand beside those others reject, to love, even when love is costly. Ultimately, it's the power revealed through the cross and the resurrection. This morning, Jesus' question comes across the centuries, and it lands right in the middle of our lives today. Who do you say I am? There may be no single answer that adequately captures everything Jesus means to you. Perhaps your answer is evolving. I wonder if Jesus might have asked a third question. If you know who I am, then how will you choose to live? May our answer be more than just words. May our answer be a life shaped by the love of Christ. May our answer be to go out where we are sent. Amen.